Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Our Reynolds Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Happy Thursday. Headlines on Softy and Dick are brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Touchdown, Washington.
The PGA Championship. Harding Park in San Francisco in front of no fans. Your lead after round number one, Jason Day, 5 under par with an opening round 65. Scotty Scheffler, Martin Kaymer, and Xander Schauffele, along with Zach Johnson and Brooks Koepka, all tied at 4 under par after opening round 66s after round number one.
The leaders of the Pac-12 We Are United group have accepted a meeting with Larry Scott for tonight to go over their list of demands.
Let's see. NFL opt-outs. Jags cornerback Rashawn Melvin and Niners offensive tackle Sean Coleman will not play in 2021. NCAA opt-out. Good player, by the way. A potential top five pick in the draft. Micah Parsons, linebacker Penn State, will not play in 2020.
Interesting timing on this, but Alabama offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian getting a new 3-year contract worth $7.5 million. He was making about $1.65 per year.
That's like $80 billion in Tuscaloosa, by the way, if you're counting at home. And the Mariners won last night 7-6 despite 2 home runs from Mike Trout. Today, this is why we can't have nice things, because the M's could not put a winning streak together. They lose today to the Angels 6-1. Dylan Bundy took the win. Taijuan Walker took the loss. The Angels got a home run from Shohei the Money Ohtani, his first plate appearance since being shut down as a pitcher. All right, so 520 on the radio show. You know, we like to have fun on the program with drops like this.
When you're on Easter weekend, your wife is over here braiding your hair.
And drops like this.
Hey, Seattle.
And drops like this.
Mr. Unlimited.
And drops like this.
Welcome to my happy place.
And drops like this.
Nice expensive chair, too, first of all.
Okay, that is one person, by the way. Okay. You might think that's 5 or 6 different guys. No, it's actually one guy. So it's like the Kingdome growing up was a dump, and people would make fun of that dump. Hey, you know what? It's my dump, and I'll make fun of my dump, but you shut your mouth, right? Like, if your kid smells, you can tell your kid that he smells. You can tell your kid to jump in the shower. But if I tell your kid that he stinks, that's a problem. You know what I'm talking about.
My kids don't like showers.
Like, ever?
And it's because it's gonna. They do shower. They just don't like showers. It's going to be a big problem when they get to be puberty age and they have to take a shower every day. That's
gonna
be an issue.
Are they scared of the shower? Like when Dixon?
No, they just
is he
don't.
Like,
I mean,
water.
At least they swim on swim teams, so they get clean quite a bit. But when if they go, my daughter, she'd be happy to go 3 days without taking a shower.
What's wrong with your kids, man? They live in swimming pools. But they hate showers?
Yeah, they hate showers.
Doesn't make any sense.
Hate showers.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Is it possible that maybe your kids could be a little weird? I mean, you thought about that?
Possible. What do you think? You know them.
So we're going to talk about this next segment because your buddy Warren Sharp, right, sent out a tweet where he was quoting Russell Wilson from 2 years ago.
Mr. Unlimited.
Did that whole thing on Twitter for the very first time, but you know how Twitter works. Sometimes people have a hard time finding things on time. Like, I honestly have people on my timeline that will favorite or like or retweet or whatever or respond to tweets from like 4 years ago. I literally had a guy a couple nights ago responding to me about a tweet I sent out 3 or 4 years ago regarding Brad Stevens, the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Just random, weird. Like, the guy is online looking for Brad Stevens tweets. Like, you and I go online looking for old baseball cards.
Right,
this guy's
right.
online looking for stuff that people are talking about in regards to Brad Stevens. So I see things like that all the time. But Warren Sharp sent this tweet out, and he was basically mocking Russell Wilson, right, for this Mr.
Yes.
Unlimited thing.
Yes.
And we're like, that was 2 years ago. Everybody already knows about that. What the hell?
I mean, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, wait a second. Is this a new Mr. Unlimited thing that I'm seeing here? So I watched the whole thing, and I was like, nope, that's the exact same one. Why is this getting so much attention on Twitter?
Well, because people like him,
Mr. Unlimited,
just found it. And now there's a couple of folks online and on social media, sports talk shows around the country that are having their fun now with Russell Wilson. So we'll chat about that coming up 5:20 on the radio show. I just put a poll out, by the way, on Twitter.
Update on the poll.
Yeah, I thought it'd be fun to have an update there on the poll. Asking Seahawks fans, and I guess more fans because we're not asking just for Seahawks fans, but people, pick one for the Seahawks, Clowney or Matthews and Everson Griffin. Mm-hmm. 330 votes in a matter of minutes here. What do you think is leading the clubhouse right now?
Well, I believe that Clowney should not be leading, but I would imagine he probably is just because he's a bigger name and people are drawn to the bigger names.
You would be correctamundo. Jadeveon Clowney, 66%. Matthews Griffin, so far, 33%. And I think those people are crazy.
Crazy.
I think you're nuts if you want those guys, or excuse me, one player over those two guys. So, you know, look, I mean, obviously Clowney, you would think if he's healthy, could put up better numbers than he put up a year ago. But even if Jadeveon Clowney is at his very, very, very best, and his very, very best, by the way, was in 2017.
9 sacks?
Yep, 9.5 and 21 tackles for loss and 21 quarterback hits. And I realize we're talking two guys versus one, but the year that Jadeveon Clowney had in 2017, I could see if everything goes really well for Everson Griffin and he has a really good year, I could see him doing that. I could see Everson Griffin putting up those types of numbers from 2017 for Jadeveon Clowney. Is he the same kind of run stuffer and getting after the quarterback type of player that Clowney is? Maybe not. The guy's pretty versatile. We all know that. There's no question about that. And Clowney in a contract year at the age of 27 versus Everson Griffin at the age of 32, there's something pretty attractive about that. But I'm going over the numbers and I'm going over this in my head. I can't imagine really any scenario where if the money is equal, I would turn down two guys for one, especially those two guys.
I wouldn't. It's a little bit apples and oranges just because, like you said, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney's not a traditional edge rusher, while those other two guys, they're going to fill that bill. But that's kind of what you need right now. You need guys to get after the quarterback. And Jadeveon Clowney was a wrecker. He was a disruptor. There's no question about it. I don't want to discredit what he did for this team last year. I just don't think he's worth two veteran pass rushers.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Griffin's going to be 33 years old in December. How old is Clay Matthews?
He's 33 also.
33 as well. So that's only one year anyway.
You weren't going to sign him to a four-year deal.
Right, but it's still two 33-year-old guys versus the 27-year-old guy. And at some point in time, the 33-year-old bus is going to fall off the cliff, right? It's going to slip on a banana peel like the O'Doyle family and go up in flames. So is that happening this year?
I just like the idea of just constant rotation. It's just Griffin and Matthews and Brucey and Maioa, and you're just constantly fresh off the bench, and you got a motor, and it's like one tries to outdo the other each play. Yeah. I love that idea.
And I think that would be attractive. I would think that'd be attractive to Griffin and Matthews because you're telling these guys, hey, look, man, you know, you are old. You're 32. Yeah. By NFL standards, you're like father time for
Give us 40, 50
right?
snaps.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need for you to come here and be the man and have to start 16 games and play 700 snaps in 2020. So come here and be a part of the rotation, man. Make some money, play for a good defense, help us get to a Super Bowl, right? We don't need you to come in here and bust your ass like you did for the Rams and Vikings in the last couple years, or the Packers the year before that for Clay Matthews. I do wonder, there's a part of me that wonders, for a team like Minnesota, who I think they got a chance to be okay this year, why did they not bring this guy back? Why was Everson Griffin not re-signed?
I don't know what they have as far as younger pass rushers, so I wouldn't be able to speak on that. But I can speak on the fact that, I tweeted out today, I couldn't believe it, but, there's the odds makers have Minnesota with a better chance to win, at least PFF odds makers have Minnesota with a better chance to win the Super Bowl than Seattle. I think that's ridiculous. But so there are people that think that Minnesota's better than the Hawks.
So why would they not bring back Everson Griffin?
Right.
Especially if they can get him on a one-year deal. I mean, maybe he thought, if I'm going to a one-year contract situation, I'll do it with somebody else, because it's embarrassing for me to have to do it in Minnesota. They got Hunter. They got Shamar Stephan, who's the former Seahawk, obviously. They got a Fetty, Odin Bingo, whatever the hell his name is out there. I mean, I don't know. I don't see a defense that could have just said adios to Everson Griffin and had an easy answer to replace the guy.
Well, we'll see what they did as a team in sacks last year and take out the Griffins 8. That will give us a little bit of an indication on what they did last year. But if we end up signing Everson Griffin, you know who our first call is to.
Paul
Your boy
Allen.
P.A.
Yeah.
P.A.'s coming on and give us the breakdown of Griffin if they sign him.
There has to be a flag on that. That's ridiculous.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little Russell Wilson, but maybe not in the manner that you think we are next.
They were 7th, by the way. 7th in the NFL in sacks last year.
And they let him walk, and they got a good team. So what's up with that? We'll find out. You know what? We'll get PA in at some point. They sign him for sure, but maybe even before they sign him, we'll get him on and find out why wasn't – you know what? I think Paul was on with us and explained why the Vikings did not re-sign Everson Griffin.
We have short memories.
I think I forgot.
Good Lord.
Have him on again. Next on 950K
Podcast.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your new home for the Huskies. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, kids. 520 right here on Softy and Dick. Hanging out 950 KJR. You know we like to have a little fun.
What?
Yeah, there you go. That's my contribution for the day. Nice. Hey, what'd you learn on Softy's show? We like to have some fun every now and then with Russell Wilson. You know, he's our guy. We can bust his chops, right? Every
Absolutely.
Now and then. You know, it's like the old...
He busts his own chops, so
does.
We can bust his chops.
Yes, the old Welcome Back Cotter theme song, right? They got him on the... They kid him a lot because they got him on the spot, right? I mean, we kid him a lot because he's our guy. That's our quarterback, and we can kid him, you know, joke around, bust his chops a little bit. So it's different when somebody else does it, right? When somebody else is taking shots at our guys. So Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, had this video he sent out like 2 years ago. Remember this one right here?
I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them I'm unlimited.
Okay, so that was a while back, right? Well, apparently your guy Warren Sharp from sharpfootball.com just found this tweet like 2 days ago.
Yeah, he's been living under a rock.
Right. It's like, what is this crap? What the hell? This guy, Russell Wilson, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He comes across as a total dork. What the hell's going on here? So then our guys in Chicago, is it Spiegel?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mac or Spiegel and Perkins, by the way,
this show. This is McNeil and Perkins.
McNeil and Perkins. I'm sorry. Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Is it Perkins or Parkins?
It is Perkins, but it's written as
Danny Parkins. Dan McNeil, Teddy Greenstein on 670 The Score in Chicago. I'll bring this up because I've been on their show a lot in the last 4 or 5 years. We go on, we have some fun, we kid around, whatever. They got a hold of this video apparently too for the first time. So now there's sports talk radio guys across the country that are getting wind of
Mr. Unlimited
for the very first time. Let's hear what their reaction was. Check it out.
What is he doing?
I don't know. 1.6 million people now have seen the video. And we're all dumber for it.
Wow. So, Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Is it possible? Tanny, why don't you share your theory? I like your theory.
What was my theory other than your Russell Wilson is weird?
You said it was like a precursor for an unlimited cell phone data plan. Like, is it possible like Russell Wilson puts this out, gets mocked on social media for, you know, 12, 24 hours.
Unlimited.
And then all of a sudden is like the new pitch man for T-Mobile.
I stand by that. It seems like, you know, corporate synergy, and you know, he gets viral buzz going here with the unlimited, and all of a sudden you have
it's so weird.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you have like, you know, cell phone, you know, the company that merged, you know, here's our new unlimited plan. Isn't that right, Russell? And he throws a football at someone or something stupid, and you know, everyone forgets about it 5 minutes later.
He's such a good football player, but he's so dorky in everything he does. And that's coming from me. he seems like the guy who code switches and like tries to please all people and be all things to all people. Like, I don't know who the real Russell Wilson is. I have no idea.
I think that's it. I think you what you see is what you get. He's a pretty simple guy. I think football and baseball have been his life. He seems to be comfortable as a celebrity, but doesn't seem to be like that's the motivation behind why he plays football. He's likable, even though he's not necessarily interesting. And I think that it's to his credit that he acknowledges that at the beginning of the video. He does. Mike, what did he say? Boring Russell.
Hey, guys. Russell here. Yes, the typical boring. Yes, Russell. The one you guys love to know. Real, real exciting. Yeah, I'm real excited. But anyways.
Nope.
People on the text line saying that they were embarrassed for him just listening to it. And then a lot of people assigning drugs to that. I don't think he's high or doing anything else nefarious. I think he's just kind of
unlimited.
Weird.
Unlimited.
Yeah, unlimited. Exactly. They stripped his limits away. That's what that is.
Okay, so that's our quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's our quarterback. That's our guy. That is our all-pro Super Bowl champion quarterback who we love. That those jerks in Chicago are making fun of. So my question to you guys is this. What are we going to do about it? We going to let these guys just take shots at our guy? Is that the way we roll here? We have our guy Russell Wilson who comes into town and becomes one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, leads us to a Super Bowl title on the way to the Hall of Fame, puts us on the map. Are we going to allow these jerks in the Windy City to crap all over our guy? What are we going to do about this dick? What do you tell your kid when he gets bullied at school? Keep taking punches and go home crying? Or do you say step up and smack him back in the face?
Well, if these
what are we doing here?
I mean, are these really punches?
I don't know. You tell me.
I didn't hear anything that those guys said that
they called him a dork.
That got my. He is a dork. I mean, he is a dork, and I will agree with the whole sentiment that he sounds different depending on who he's talking to. I mean, listen.
Whoa! What do you mean that this doesn't sound
Mr. Unlimited
like this?
We on Easter weekend, your wife is over here, baby.
I mean, every
or this
hey, Seattle.
Is that what you're saying?
Every home video with Sierra sounds completely different than any Russell Wilson we had ever heard before.
Yeah. I just think
and
that,
I have no idea why.
Well, I think that first of all, he's corny as hell. Mm-hmm. He's beyond cheesy. He's what me and my people would call schmaltzy, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay?
Schmaltzy. That's a great word. I don't really know what it means.
Schmaltzy.
What's the Yiddish
it
translation?
It just means he's corny, right? He's kind of cheesy, schmaltzy.
He's just dripping
with schmaltz, right? So I think that there's a couple things about Russell Wilson. I think that I maybe have seen an evolution out of him in that when he first showed up here, I actually heard from a player who told me that he thought that Russell Wilson had a crippling case of insecurity back in the day when he first showed up here, that he was really trying to be the guy, be a man's man, kind of stand out a little bit, and it's not really who he is, right? He actually is this cornball that you see on Twitter. He's a happy-go-lucky, cornball-y, sentimental type of guy. He's like an intelligent Gomer Pyle is what he is.
Okay.
And people have a hard time believing that that is his real personality. I really believe, and you can call me naive, but I really believe after talking to a lot of people that know him personally, that this is really actually who he is. That's who he is. Behind closed doors, he's that way. With his wife, with his friends, he's that way. Doesn't necessarily translate to being a guy that maybe a lot of dudes want to hang out with. To be honest with you, he's not really kind of that guy that you want to go break bread with.
But I don't think he cares.
Have a beer at Dino's, but I'm not sure if he does care. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he feels like, you know what, I would love to go have beers across the street at Dino's with my defensive lineman. Or go hang out with Chris Carson or Rashad Penny or whoever. Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. You don't normally hear a lot about Russell Wilson running with other players off the field. He goes home to his hot wife. Which, by the way, if I'm married to her, I'm home 24. I'm doing this show from home like you are if I'm married to Sierra. Okay? I honestly believe that's who he is. He literally is that guy you see on Twitter.
I am wondering how he felt, though, deep down inside in 2013, 14, 15, when it clearly was not his football team. He was the quarterback of the football team. Absolutely helped them go to two Super Bowls and win one, but it was not his football team. Well, it was Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright's football team. And with Marshawn Lynch, it was not Russell Wilson's team. And so I'm wondering if that insecurity kind of moved all the way through. And then we heard the whole Seth Wickersham thing of, the whole not black enough thing, and they didn't see him as one of the boys and everything like that. Yeah. So I'm wondering how that's affected him over the last four or 5 years.
I think it not being his team when he first showed up here as a rookie in 2012 and 13 and 14, I would hope that would have been okay because the guy was a rookie. He was a young kid. He was in the NFL for 2-3 years. Here you have all these guys like Marshawn, like Bobby. I mean, Bobby was there one year before him, but Cam, Earl, Sherman had been there for a couple years by the time he showed up. So I don't know. Maybe he felt like, hey, I'm the quarterback and this should be my football team back then. But I would think, man, you were the last piece of the pie, right? They already had these guys when you showed up here. The defense was good to go. The offensive line was good to go. Yeah. The wide receivers, for the most part, were good to go. Running back was certainly good to go. And then they got Russell Wilson, so he was the last piece of the pie. Usually he's the first piece. And that helped him, I think.
I'm trying to think of other quarterbacks that made the Super Bowl in the second year of their career.
And Dan Marino.
Yes. One of them. That was Dan Marino's freaking football team in 1984.
Didn't Roethlisberger make it too?
And that was Ben Roethlisberger's football team.
Well, I guess. I mean, maybe from the outside looking in, but, Joey Porter and all those guys they had on that Pittsburgh Steelers football team. I don't know if a rookie or a second-year quarterback can come in and win the room anyway, especially when you have a bunch of established veteran guys there to begin with. And I would hope that for Russell Wilson, I hope he looks back and thinks, man, that was great, right? That situation he walked into. This is not a 2-14 football team where they're relying on me. I'm not doing what Sam Darnold is doing in New York, for God's sakes. I mean, it's a different story. Everything's already done for me.
So who is the guy then? If we know the button-down Russell. We see that all the time.
Yeah.
We know the goofy, crazy, Mr. Unlimited, dorky Russell. Who is the one that we've heard most recently? What's the most recent one talking about Sierra painting something or cut? You got that drop, right?
What the hell she doing? She out here pregnant, trying to take a photo.
Where did that come from?
Look what the hell she doing. She out here pregnant, trying to take a photo.
I don't know.
Ever heard that before.
I think he's honestly he's trying to be funny. This is his way of being
funny.
Maybe
it is.
I mean, some people have different ways of being funny. I got my way of being funny. You have your way of being funny. Jackson, I think, has his way of being funny, right? Everybody has their way, and they think it's hilarious. And other people may say, what are you doing? That's just douchey, right? Like, stop. I mean, it's uncomfortable, but it's funny how this story came out, this video came out 2 years ago, and it's all over the freaking internet, like all these different websites. It's on Fox News, Fox News, not Fox Sports, FoxNews.com ran a story on this video. Russell Wilson's cringeworthy Mr. Unlimited video resurfaces, fans poke fun at quarterback. Is the headline. And there's all these different tweets from people around the country. Dove Kleinman from the NFL Network, is that right? NFL.com, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is one of the most awkward things I've ever seen, says Dove. Eric Hubbs, who writes for Barstool. How could you ever hate Russell Wilson? Asterix plays video from Eric. Danny Amendolara, who does, I think, sports for CBS. I have no idea why the LOB didn't hang out with Russell Wilson more. And he's obviously being sarcastic. Right, so here we are now, 2 years later, and you know what? I don't want to go online and hear about my quarterback beat up by everybody. Shut up! That's my guy! You had a problem with him, you got a problem with me!
It just shows again that
we can make fun of them. You can't.
We live in this Southeast Alaska little bubble that evidently it takes a lot for videos and social media even to get out of this bubble. Because if that didn't get, I'm shocked didn't get out of the Washington State 2 years ago.
We on Easter weekend.
We talked about it all the time.
Yeah. It's just a daily thing on the show. I tell you who can't stand Russell Wilson? You know who can't
stand Seattle.
You know who can't stand Russell Wilson? There's one guy out there that just every time he hears the name Russell Wilson.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And he rolls his eyes every time.
They're losers.
Petros can't stand the guy. And you know, Petros is a man's man. I mean, he really is. You got tattoos and everything. Where's a gold chain? He's a man. And he can't stand Russell Wilson.
Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
So when we get a hold of Petros next Wednesday and bring this up again, I mean, it's going to be bloody on the show next Wednesday at 4:20. Does it bother people that Russell Wilson is this corny? I mean, is this actually an issue for people? I mean, I think it's fun. I think it's cool that we can kind of poke fun at the guy. Yeah. He's our quarterback. I hope the guy's here forever. We kid him because we love him. He's absolutely a total dork. He's a complete nerd.
Hey, Seattle.
But I wouldn't want anybody else playing for the Hawks at quarterback besides this guy.
Absolutely.
Nobody.
And think about some quarterbacks around the league. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a jackass.
He's a jerk. Correct.
He is a total jackass. Yeah. Russell Wilson isn't a jackass. Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger, what's he? I mean, Ben Roethlisberger very well could be worse than a jackass. We don't know exactly what happened in that bathroom.
Bad guy.
But, maybe. I mean, he very well may be just a flat-out bad dude. So, I mean, Baker Mayfield, total, I mean, come on. Yes. I mean, where do you start with Baker Mayfield? So, Cam Newton, say what you want about Cam Newton.
Totally.
He's got a lot of issues. Hey, I'll take Russell Wilson's dorkiness over a lot of these quarterbacks' personalities in the NFL.
What quarterback, when you sign a guy to a multi-year, gajillion-dollar contract, right, you want to make sure that you can feel comfortable making this guy the face of your franchise.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
You're never going to have any issues with
that. What quarterback outside of Russell Wilson do you trust more to be the face of your franchise for a decade besides Russell? Okay, there may be better players than Russell, like Patrick Mahomes. Last year for shotgunning a beer at the Super Bowl parade. People were busting his butt. Yeah, Hugh was kind of critical of him last year. You remember that story?
You can't shotgun a beer at a Super Bowl parade?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but apparently some people did.
Ketchup on a steak. He gets killed for ketchup on a
steak. Yes, you can't put ketchup on a steak.
Well, that's true.
You put ketchup on a steak, and you're likely to get into a car wreck on the way home from a game. So there's no warts on this guy. I mean, the freaking brain water thing. Whatever that was.
Oh,
miracle.
Yes, the brain water.
Miracle water.
The miracle water. Where he said it cured concussions.
Concussions, yes.
Which maybe it does. I mean, that was the closest this guy got to taking heat from people. The only thing we can give Russell Wilson crap for is being a complete knob.
Hey, Seattle.
And that's it. That's
and
it.
We will. And right? just watch him every year throw 35 touchdowns and 5 interceptions and lead us to the playoffs. And I'm totally fine with that.
I don't know again.
Hey, Seattle.
If there's a guy out there that you would trust more, number one, to date your daughter, and number two, to be the face of your franchise than Russell Wilson. Nobody.
Amen.
Because if you ever, the day you woke up, and the day that you saw that Russell Wilson got in trouble, the way those other quarterbacks sometimes get in trouble, is the day that you have a heart attack and croak right there,
Dave,
on the kitchen table.
You know how critical I am of players, and I am more of a team guy than I am a player guy. There are very, very, very few guys in Seattle sports history that I have associated myself with the player as great as the team. Steve Largent, Russell Wilson, Ken Griffey Jr., and the list might just end there, where they are as important to me being on my football team as the football team is. All the rest of the dudes, you come and you go, and I don't care because I root for the team. Russell has eclipsed that for me.
Do you think that he has I love people that can make fun of themselves. Self-deprecation to me is a great trait. And I think that we have that on this show. I hope that we do on this show. I hope people understand that, that we like to poke fun of ourselves. But do you think Russell Wilson kind of pokes fun of himself every now and then for this stuff? So is it appropriate to maybe do a bracket?
When you're on Easter weekend, your wife is over here braiding your hair.
With the corniest Russell Wilson quotes of all time and ask him to vote.
Hey, Seattle.
In that bracket?
Ask who to vote?
Russell. I mean,
so we're
going to
play
it.
All these for him?
We're going to have a bracket. We're going to come up with our top 8 or 16 most corny Russell Wilson quotes of all time. And maybe when we see him again, we'll present them to him and say, hey, you tell us. You've done a lot of different voices on Twitter, a lot of different personalities on Twitter. They're all corny. Which one do you think is the corniest?
Hey, Seattle.
I like that. I like that. And we have audio to help us on almost all of these. Do we have audio on the Brainwater one?
We got to find one somewhere. There's got to be one out there. But just to get him to play along with this, right? You know what? I'm going to embrace this.
I think he
would. You know why? Because there's a lot of people like me that get made fun of when they're kids. A lot of nerds out there. Guess what those nerds do? They grow up and they win Super Bowls and they marry Sierra. That's what they do.
The best interview I've ever heard with Russell Wilson. I will remember it. I was on my way driving to the VMAC. The best interview I've ever heard. God bless Ian and Puck. Yeah. Ian and Puck did the best interview I've ever heard with Russell Wilson. They had him on for 20 minutes. They talked about football for the final two.
Good. Yeah.
They just talked 18 minutes and just were stupid and goofy with Russell, and it was great, and Russell was great.
I think he should just embrace this whole thing. Just completely make it his persona. Right? Like, even at the line of scrimmage when he's barking out signals.
Welcome to my happy place.
He's doing it in different voices. He's got a different voice for the first quarter.
Hey, Seattle.
Different voice for the second quarter.
Mr. Unlimited.
Different voice for the third quarter.
You're on Easter weekend, your wife is over here braiding your hair.
And then game-winning drives, he totally changes back to a different dialect.
Welcome to my happy place.
I mean, why not? Just right, Peyton Manning with the whole Omaha thing. Just freaking own it, man.
Exactly.
I love it, dude.
Exactly.
Own it. Hang your balls out there like Jerry Maguire. Own it.
Every single huddle, he should start with, hey, Seattle.
Different voice every single time. Every single time he has a different voice.
Hey, Seattle.
How freaking funny would that be? 5:39 on Softy and Dick.
JR. Now back to Softy and Dick on your new home for the Huskies. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Hey, Seattle.
All right, baby. We are back, Softy and Dick, until 7 o'clock tonight on the radio show. And is there news to report? Potentially, maybe, could be. We'll find out.
Ooh.
From the Big Sky Conference, a guy that we talk to every now and then when the Eastern ends up on the Washington schedule. Longtime Eastern announcer, pretty much a legend, baby, out there in Eastern Washington. You can't go 5 feet without somebody saying something nice about this guy. Larry Weir, voice of Eastern Eagle football, with us on the air. Larry, how are you, man?
Good, Softy. How are you?
Good. What is the latest? Will there be Eastern Washington football in 2020?
Well, I think that's still to be determined. The Big Sky presidents met today, and the word was that they were going to make a decision on the football future today, and evidently they have not. At least they haven't as of right now. So, according to the latest report in that I had seen and making a lap around Twitter just a couple of minutes ago, is it appears as though the presidents met today. The athletic directors presented the presidents with some ideas. The presidents will talk it over, and then tomorrow it looks like we'll have some kind of a decision, because there's a lot of things at play here. I've heard that they're talking about a mixed schedule with some in the fall and some in the spring, and maybe just a spring schedule, potentially just the outright cancellation of the season. And then you've got the other fall sports that are factored in as well that they've got to figure out. So it's a little bit more, it seems like, than just a football discussion that's going on today.
How much of the damage has already been done by, you know, not having these FCS teams playing their big-time team counterparts and getting that, you know, $500,000 million payout? Is that a good chunk of their budget, or is still just having football, even without fans, would that still be really beneficial financially for them?
Not really. I mean, there's no real TV contracts here. So if in Eastern's case, they were getting $750,000 to go play at Florida. Right. And then if you can't have fans in the stands at home, they were projecting somewhere between $1 million and $1.5 million in ticket revenue this year. So there's $2 million roughly, let's say, give or take $250,000. And when you're talking about a $14 or $15 million budget, you're looking at, you know, whatever that percentage is, 14, 15% thereabouts. So that's a pretty big chunk out of the budget, you know, to a school that's already had to cut more than $2 million out of their athletic budget for this year. So add that to that, and you're looking at a really a crippling blow. You know, they're going to have to do a lot of fundraising and hope that, okay, if you play in the spring and you can at least get four home games out of that, that you can recover at least some of that ticket money.
Yeah, so you guys were supposed to go to Gainesville, right, to play Florida? Is that correct?
Yeah. Start the season in September 5th, I think it was.
Okay, so paint the picture then, because obviously a lot of us have talked about it from a Washington perspective. If there's no football, that's a huge blow for the athletic department, and you could see sports cut. But for a place like Eastern, if there is no football until September of 2021, what does that mean?
Well, it'd be a huge hit. I mean, it would be better than dropping the sport out, obviously, because you'd still be retaining your donations and things along those lines. But without that, you know, ticket money, without the Florida guarantee money, et cetera, it's going to be a tough lift. And it'll be interesting to see how the university deals with that, because the majority of Eastern's athletic budget comes from the state. It comes from the university. And so roughly nine or ten million of their athletic budget, so roughly two-thirds of it is coming from, you know, sources other than what the athletic department is able to raise over the course of the year. So, you know, it'd be in this time, it would be tough, I think, for the university to come up with another $2 million. So you're either cutting that or you're trying to figure out some other way to raise that or whatever the case may be. Maybe they can get some kind of a loan similar to what the Pac-12 says they could do for their members. Maybe the Big Sky can do something different, or something along those lines, to provide some kind of relief for their schools. Because as painful as it is for Eastern, it's probably more painful for Montana, because they get somewhere around $5 million over the course of the season through ticket sales, and even more through their radio contracts and their TV contracts and that they do have within the state for the handful of games that they can carry. So it's painful for Eastern. It's painful for everybody. If you don't have football, in 2020, whether it's Michigan or Washington or Notre Dame or Eastern Washington.
Mm-hmm. Larry, I would think the one thing that the Big Sky's got going for them is you have campuses in very small towns. And I think that would certainly help as far as COVID cases, right? I mean, you'd be able to put some fans in seats in a lot of those stadiums.
In some places, like in Missoula and in Bozeman and some of those cities, yeah. In Cheney, I don't think they right now. Eastern's one of five Big Sky schools that don't have clearance yet to practice, or at least they didn't as of last week. Spokane County had not cleared them to even practice at this point in time. So I think, you know, they probably wouldn't have fans in the stands. But to your point, yeah, it's being in a small town is probably helpful in that you don't. The level of outbreak in Cheney is going to be probably less than it is in, you know, Yakima or Seattle or you know, even in Spokane itself. And with the students online in the fall, that'll be easier to try to bubble the football team at that point in time if there's not going to be a lot of students on campus. So from that perspective, yeah, it would probably be easier being in a smaller town, but then again, it's still going to depend on what the government has to say, and within Spokane County, Eastern's still not cleared to do a whole lot at this point.
Larry Weir, voice of Eastern Washington football. Before you go, did you have a look-see at Kevin Thompson last year when he was at Sac State, the new UW quarterback?
We did, and it'll be interesting to see how he fits into the things at Washington. When Thompson was healthy, he was a good quarterback. He would have been fairly close probably to a Gage Gubrud or a Dakota Prukop, who went to the University of Oregon out of Montana State as a graduate transfer. Neither of those guys really got the chance to play, but both of them came into a situation, especially Gubrud last year, where there were experienced quarterbacks in the system, and then he got hurt and missed out on spring ball, so he missed a lot of stuff. Whereas at UW, you've got a lot of inexperienced guys with Thompson, and nobody really got a spring, and they didn't get a whole lot of time with the new offensive staff, probably, at least not outside of just learning the playbook. So I would say the playing field for Thompson is at the very least more even than it has been, you know, for either of those other two guys. And obviously the first guy was Vernon Adams, who left Eastern to go to the University of Oregon, and he had a lot of success. So I'll be interested to see what goes on there at UW. I'm not sure Thompson was as good as Gubrud or Prukop in college, but part of it was because he just couldn't stay healthy. When he was healthy, he had good success. If he could have stayed healthy for a full 11 or 12 game season, it would have been interesting to see the numbers that he put up. It should be an interesting competition, I would think.
No doubt. Well, listen, man, let's hope that there's football for all, and we can see you guys back out there at some point in time this year. But if there's no football and you get bored, you can always give us a call. We're always here for you, pal, so don't forget it, right?
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it.
You got it. You bet. Larry Weir, the voice of Eastern. So as of right now, we don't know. Is that right, what the Big Sky's doing? He just said the presidents were voting, but we don't know the answer to that. So I would assume that by tonight you should know if the Big Sky is going to bow out or kind of keep going for 2020. Got a break. A lot more to get to on the radio show, Softy and Dick, until 7 o'clock tonight right here on 950.
Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Hey, here we go. Thursday afternoon headlines on Softy and Dick, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
Been a while since we heard that clip, huh? Mariners won last night, but they lost again this afternoon. M's now 5-9 overall after a 6-1 loss to the LA Angels of Anaheim. Bright spots for the M's?
Were there any?
Shed Long had a double. Vogey went long for his first bomb of the year. Taijuan Walker, 3 2/3, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 Ks. Taijuan now 1-2 with a 5.79 ERA. M's will do it again tomorrow at T-Mobile Park.
NBA scoreboard. Kings put up .140 today over the Pelicans. 140-125.
Regulation game? Overtime?
Yes, regulation.
Wow!
They had 49 at the end of the first quarter.
Oh, would have been better to have 41.
41 yards! The Bucks beat the Heat 130-116. Suns all over the Pacers 114-99. Couple games in progress. Trailblazers stay hot, man. Watch out for Portland. They're up by 10 on Denver, 52-42, as they're looking for that 8 seed. 2 minutes left to go in the second quarter. Clippers blowing out the Mavericks, 126-111, with a minute left to go. And then LeBron looks like he's not going to play tonight, as they are just about ready to tip it up. The Lakers and the Rockets this evening. LeBron's got a groin injury.
Baseball scores. Philadelphia Phillies lead the Yankees 5-4, top of the eighth in Philadelphia. Cleveland hammering the Reds 13-zip after 8. Atlanta up on the Braves 3-1, top 7. Houston leads the Diamondbacks 2-0 in the bottom of the sixth. And the Royals blanking the Cubs 10-0, bottom 5 from Kansas City. One game postponed because the Cardinals have had too many COVID cases. The Cardinals and Tigers was called off today. And the deadline for players to opt out of the NFL has come and gone. Jaguar corner Rashawn Melvin and Niner offensive tackle Sean Coleman are out for 2020. The Seahawks, by the way, so far have only had the one guy, and that's Chance Warmack, right? Nobody else, so nobody of real significance. I mean, I guess they could have somebody else opt out. The rules state that if you have a new diagnosis of an at-risk condition after today, or if a family member dies, contracts COVID, or is in a medical facility because of COVID-19 related illnesses, then you can then opt out as well for 2020. So barring a disaster, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. This is the roster.
Absolutely, and I think a couple things. One, I'm glad Tony Dungy came out and really clarified things on Twitter, because I think there was a big misnomer that these guys were just going to get paid if they opt out, and they're getting a cash advance on what they would have made next year, and if they don't make the team next year, they have to pay that money back. So it's not like they're just getting paid to sit out here. And secondly, I think the overall numbers of players opting out,
it was like 60, right?
Even be less than I thought there was going to be. And then certainly the significance of the names of the players, certainly less than I thought it was going to be. So, I'm encouraged that we certainly are not going to have an asterisk season here in the NFL because, 150, 200 players opted out of this season.
Well, you're talking about what? When it's all said and done, you got like 1,700 guys, right, on yeah. rosters, on active rosters around the NFL. So we're talking 3% of players have opted out. And yeah. most of them are not huge. I mean, C.J. Mosley is a really big name, obviously.
One of the biggest names, yeah.
But he plays for the Jets. I mean, the Jets are going nowhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those guys, you know, Dante Hightower, excuse me, of the Patriots, Patrick Chung, guys like that, you know. But obviously, you know, Bill Belichick could be thinking that this is going to be a rebuilding the year for them in New England, and maybe he's not so bad about guys that are not playing in 2020 because Trevor Lawrence. I mean, would you be surprised if Trevor Lawrence somehow, some way, ended up in New England with the New England Patriots? And what a pretty situation for him to be in, because he's not the guy that takes over for Tom Brady. He's the guy that took over for the guy who took over for Tom Brady. It's perfect.
I just have a hard time shutting my eyes and envisioning a Bill Belichick team going 2-14. Even
of course
if they
you
have
do.
You and me yeah. on the team, yeah. I have a hard time envisioning Bill Belichick just, you know, he would have to literally throw the season.
Well,
because Bill Belichick can coach him.
Yeah.
He can coach his way to 9 wins with a crap roster.
Why do they have to end up going 2-14 to get the number one pick in the draft?
Well, I mean, you. To, let's
what
say
if they go 5-11 and the Lions end up going 1-15. They've got Matt Stafford, and they trade and they make a deal and they move up from, let's say, number 14 or number 15 to go to number one. Boy, they mortgage the future to move up. I mean, let's say the Dolphins end up having a horrible year. They just drafted Tua Tagovailoa.
Right.
They're not drafting Trevor Lawrence in back-to-back seasons.
I see your point. I guess in my scenario, the Patriots never finish low enough where they could actually trade to number one. Like I just don't see 5-11. I see at minimum 8-8 for the Patriots. So I mean, to trade from 16-1, I mean, I just don't think Belichick would trade like the next 3 years worth of first-round draft picks.
Well, but that's if you're wrong about the record. I mean, if they go 5-11, if they go 6-10, then yeah, they may have a shot doing something like that. I mean, if Cam Newton ends up getting banged up again and he can't play, and they got Stidham there, who's the Brian Hoyer? I mean, look, if their quarterback situation falls apart, and we saw what they had at wide receiver a year ago, which wasn't a lot around Tom Brady, I'm not saying it's likely. You know, I just think Belichick's system, the way his players perform, I think you're probably right that at the very worst, they're a mediocre ball club. 8-8, 9-7, maybe at worst. But somebody of significance gets banged up. They got an injury bug the way the Hawks did a year ago. It's not ridiculous to think they can go 6-10. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, they're 9-1 to win the AFC. I mean, the betting market says stay with the Patriots. I mean, they're a minus to so you then, if I'm hearing you right, you would bet that they wouldn't make the playoffs this year.
No, I would bet, yes. Yes.
So you'd get, you'd get plus 170 betting that way.
Well, I think the Bills are going to win the AFC East.
I agree.
I think Buffalo wins
too.
The East. So then, if you're the Patriots, you're talking about Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Houston, Tennessee, Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers, who should be better than they were a year ago. Kansas City. Okay. I mean, those are all the teams you're competing with.
That's six, right?
I mean, three of those teams will be division champions, obviously.
Yeah.
Then you got Pittsburgh, you got Tennessee, you got Indianapolis, you got the second place team from the AFC West. I mean, it's not insane to think the Patriots could make the playoffs, and I think that they likely will. But if I were a betting man and you were giving me better odds on them not making the playoffs, I'd take that.
Yeah, I just think the Patriots seem to me like a team, kind of like the Seahawks, where there's a really narrow window of options for how many games they're going to win. Like, I just don't see him falling off the table, and I don't see him having enough talent to do any real damage. So I just kind of see him in that little, whatever that 8-9 win window is, which is exactly what their over-under is 8.5. And I kind of feel the same way about the Hawks. I don't see how the Hawks, barring, obviously, knock on wood, Russell Wilson going down or them just suffering massive, massive injuries.
Yeah.
I don't see them winning single-digit games, but I don't see them winning more than 12 because their schedule is so tough. So, I mean, it's just a really narrow window of what I think the Seahawks are going to end up this year.
Well, I mean, look at the Patriots' schedule. They start off at home with Miami. Then they're at the Seahawks. Then they are home against the Raiders. And then they're at Kansas City, Denver, San Francisco, at Buffalo, the Jets, and then Baltimore, and
pretty
then
tough.
Houston
pretty
after
tough
that.
First half, man.
Cardinals are coming there. They're going to be at the Chargers, at the Rams, Bills there in week 16, so it's not a slam dunk that this team wins 10 games at all. All right,
I agree.
6-10, we'll get a break. Grant Cohen from SI.com, who covers the Niners. Seahawks, in case you haven't seen this, got a cornerback on waivers from San Francisco. Could this guy be the answer to our prayers at nickel? We'll find out. Grant Cohen going to join the radio show, talk some Niner football next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.